Turn with me to a little big book this morning, the book of Jonah. Would you do that with me, please? The book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. What a tremendous book here in the Minor Prophets. Book of Jonah. Now, you know, we're in a series of messages, Faith Under Fire. I've taught the book of Jonah several times down through the years, but I never do that without learning something else. You know, that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. So, oh man, I've read it through. How much of it did you retain? Since it is God's Word, it's different than any other book you'll ever read, because those books are not inspired, but God's Word is. Let me just go ahead and add to that the King James Version. Amen. We know the story of Jonah. We know that God spoke to him. What we'll do, let's just go ahead and read here in chapter 1. I'm going to chapter 2 here a little later, but let's just get the setting here. We know a lot of it. Maybe something here we can also learn, as I do when I read it. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. It's amazing how quickly, I don't even know if Jonah even thought about what God said to him. Because the next verse says, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And I think one of the saddest phrases in the Word of God is that it follows that, says, from the presence of the Lord. You know, I probably am talking to somebody here this morning who's fleeing from God. Tell you what, you're not going to win the race. Now go do that. Now just leave it right there and let God use it. Start verse 3 again. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. Boy, did he ever. And went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from, here it is again, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that are in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. Boy, they kind of grilled him. They went on to say, What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, or of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, there it is a third time, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Faith under fire. Our faith will be tested, yours and mine, in numerous ways as we live our lives for the Lord. Satan being the wise foe that he is, will use those things to defeat us if we're not really careful. We better purpose, we better make up our minds that I'm in this for the long haul, until death you do part. I'm going to serve the Lord all the days of my life. I'm going to do my best to serve the Lord all the days of my life. Okay? But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now he did this, and lo and behold, he found himself in trouble. Christian, listen to me. You'll have enough problems as serving the Lord and staying faithful and have been able to say, as Paul did when he was about to leave this life, said, I fought a good fight. Okay? And we'll have enough problems coming our way, allowed by the all-wise hand of our God, that will help us to mature and draw us closer to himself. But when he does that, and when he begins to speak to us and to show us, don't run from him. Why do we want to run from someone that all he wants to do is bless us? Why do we do that? I've watched that happen down through these years. I've watched it happen so many times. So many times. I'm old enough now that I have people tell me, preacher, I wish I'd have listened. That's all hindsight. Oh, it's never too late to get things in order and have that joy restored that David prayed for. He was called. He was called. He fled from God in a ship heading for Tarshish. Now, and when he did that, by the way, when you run from the Lord, there's going to be a storm. God will determine the severity of the storm. God knows what to do to bring me and you back to himself. He's loving God, folks. Everything he does for me and you is for our good. Aren't we? I speak for myself. Hard-headed. God has a way of getting our attention. Well, he's headed out, and boy, there came a storm. Now, you just use your imagination. I've never been in a storm at sea. I'm told that that's one of the most fearful things that you ever want to be in, or in an airplane 35,000 feet and there's a storm or lightning everywhere. But here they were, and here comes this storm. Of course, we read the text here, what happened. And Jonah said himself, from a very moment that they realized in trouble, Jonah knew he was the culprit. Jonah was where he was not supposed to be. He was away from the presence of the Lord. God help me. If I do it, it'll be not intentional, but, and we're all made out of the same stuff, aren't we? We're all in this old flesh. We're capable about anything, but one of our main prayers in our lives ought to be, dear God, help me not to leave your presence. Yeah. Aren't there people, you know people, on this earth that it's just a blessing and a joy to be around them? They're an inspiration. They encourage you. They help you. Well, if a human being can do that, what in the world can God do? Just think about it. God can do wonderful and marvelous things. Well, there was a great storm, but Jonah said, throw me overboard. But isn't God good? Isn't God good? Oh, yes. Let's go down to the last verse of chapter 1. He said, throw me overboard. And verse 17 of chapter 1 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There's quite a bit of typology here, a lot of preaching you can do, and Jesus been in the grave 3 days and three nights before he resurrected and all that, but we know that that's not my purpose right this moment. But God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Listen to me, Christian. Hear me. God always provides a way back. Always, without fail. God prepares a way back. A big fish. Now, I want to think that God didn't stop the digestive processes taking place in the belly of that whale. I just can't imagine. Now, I'm going to be a little crude, okay? When you get away from God, it's said, like they said about Lazarus, he stinketh. Huh? When you're away from God, all kinds of things take place. Bad things, not good things. And it's also a type of the world. You get out here, you leave God's presence, you get out here in this world, and I will tell you something, the world will do a number on you. No, you know. It's bad. But here he was in the belly of this whale. You see, when they threw him overboard, Jonah got things stirred up. Oh, how he did. He sure did. You know, folks, let me make this statement. It kind of sounds strange to you, but just hold on for a moment. We live dangerous lives. We do. Me and you are just pilgrims here as Christians, but we live dangerous lives. Anytime you get out there in traffic, is it dangerous? I mean, you're out there with crazy people. When I get out there, I'm the only sane person. Everybody else is crazy. We never know. We don't know. You see, we're living dangerous lives. Let me put an addendum to that. Especially when we're out of the will of God. Folks, you understand? Do you understand? And this, I could go ahead and preach this and not go any further with the message that God's given me, but you realize how dangerous it is to be out of the will of God? Out of His will. And at the same time, I'm out of His will, but I know what I'm supposed to do. And I do it anyway. That's just blatant disobedience. You and I, we live dangerous lives. Listen to me. We're one heartbeat away from death. One. I'm like you. I hope I'm going to live a long time. I had a man sitting in the office one time. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'll just go ahead. Just show you how people can get. He said, "Proverbs, preacher, you're not going to live very long." And he's hoping that I wouldn't. That's why he said it. I know that for a fact. I said, "Well, we'll just leave that in the hands of God, okay?" See, how could somebody say, listen, folks, you can get in such a condition, you can do or say anything. Yes, we can. We're one heartbeat away from death. You and I today, you know why we're here? God's precious grace. The grace of God. When you go to work in the morning, you work your job, you get in your vehicle, and however, what transportation you use, and you get back home and you walk through the door, you've got a lot to thank God for. Some people leave and they don't get home. Dangerous. Live dangerous lives. You see, God bestows so much grace upon us, and we really have more than we deserve. Would you agree with that? Yeah, we do. We do. So, Jonah, the belly of this whale, he was in a dangerous place. Now, let's read on into chapter 2 here. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, now notice real closely, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Now notice that next phrase, and he heard me. Aren't you grateful, thankful to God when you pray, he hears you? Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I cried by reason of mine affliction. I've probably said it since I've been preaching this series, but here's a group of people here assembled at Trinity Baptist Church this morning, and some of you, no doubt there's somebody, you're going through deep water. You're going through some troubled times. I mean, you're feel like your back is against the wall and there's no way out. I could go on and on trying to describe the situation. But notice he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. And why did Jonah cry out to God? Very simple. He knew he was in trouble. Pretty good thing to do when you're in trouble. Cry out to the one especially that can help you. Amen. Now, let me stress something here about Jonah's prayer. In his praying, get this, Christian, this will help you. You're being tested. You're going through fire right now. You may be in deep waters like Jonah was until he was rescued by that whale submarine. Jonah, first thing he does, it's desperate prayer. He agrees with God. You know what? That's what, man, you've got to do. We got to not argue with him or put up a fuss with him. Man, you need to agree with God. You're right, Lord. Folks, listen, he's always right. Always right. Every time. 24/7. He's always right. But I am thankful that James says, if I draw nigh to the Lord, he'll draw nigh to me. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit during Sunday school. If I draw nigh, he draws nigh. I draw nigh, he draws nigh. What's going to happen if we keep doing that? We're together. You know, we do our best praying in desperation, don't we? Jonah agreed with God. Not only did Jonah agree with God, he submitted to God. He submitted to God. And the third thing he did, he honors God. He agrees with God. He submits to God. He honors God. Now, when me and you pray like this, when we go to God and we pray like Jonah did, prayers like this get results. Now I could get in another on another subject here, that of prayer. I'm going to say it again. I heard a preacher announced his message in this church on this particular night, and I wanted to know, and I kind of figured out what it was going to be. He said, I'm going to preach on the greatest sin in the world. And that greatest sin he preached is prayerlessness. You know, when you and I pray, it all should always be serious prayer. Brother Earl, I got through praying the other day. I don't know if you've ever done this or not. I did. You know, there are certain burdens you have and certain things and people that you pray for. And I said, Lord, I know I pray down a lot of my prayers, same thing every day, every day, every day. Well, my family needs prayer. I mean, there's things that I need. I need the wisdom that only God can give me, and I pray about these things. I got up and I was through praying and I said to the Lord, I said, God, I know I say the same things every day, but I'm serious. I mean, God, what I'm saying. I don't think God is bored at all when you and I pray the same prayer. When we're sincere and you tell him that we need him, we pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit and God will use us. Folks, don't we need to pray that every day? When we're living in a cesspool called the world, God only knows how much more me and you need to pray. God, help me to be aware of your presence. Help me to be conscious of your working in my life. And God, help me to understand that your ways are not my ways. What a place for old Jonah to be in. We're all lost in sin, aren't we? We need to pray. We deserve nothing but death, Romans 6:23. But you see, God in love met us, as we said earlier about the song, God met us in our sins. Loved us anyway. Loved us anyway. Let me just put a little, insert a little note right here. Why in the world should God love me? But he does. He does. Do you understand, folks, about sin? Do you understand what sin is? That which does not bring glory to God is a simple answer. But sin is devastating. When Jonah, what he was really saying, I heard him, but I could care less. And he fled. He flew from the presence of God. We better be concerned about what God says. I just happen to be the under-shepherd here today, and I just happen to be a preacher, and I'm telling you what God says here. Now, I tell you, I have a great recommendation that you listen. You go to a doctor, and he says, sir, ma'am, he says, I got some news. It's not all that good. Boy, I mean, your ears perk up. And you're not going to like what you hear, but here's a doctor. He studied. He knows. He's diagnosed you. He's looked at the symptoms. He says, here's your problem. He prescribes medicine, whatever is necessary to help this individual get well. Well, we go to church. We've been to see the doctor. And if need be, he can perform surgery. We better listen. And when the medicine's given out, we better take it through here to here. Listen to what God has to say. You understand what a blessing, what a joy, privilege, and I'll leave out a word here, to be sitting where you are right now. Not because of me. Just that you are sitting and you're hearing the Word of God, whether it's me, and you'll hear a prince of preachers next week, Dr. Gibbs. You understand the grace that comes from God that allows me and you to hear the Bible preached? When across our land today, there's so many not preaching it. But there are those that still are. And when I get sick or ill, I don't just go to any doctor. I've been going to the same doctor now for a number of years. I used to go to old Dr. Morris. He's dead now. I liked him because he was the old school. He and I'd have conversation talk, and he'd make these humorous remarks and all that kind of thing, but I liked him. I believe he knew the Lord, said he did. But I had a need and went to him. You get on your knees and you're praying, and the Holy Spirit says, you see that right there? And by the way, he does that. Are you listening to me? He does that. Some of you older Christians, you might be petting some sin you've had for years and years and years and years, and you better get rid of it. If nothing else, you know, God knows what to do, and he's all wise. But you know, you and I are going to be given rewards when we stand before the Lord as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. I'll just speak for myself, and those of you who say you don't, you're not telling the truth. I like rewards. I like gifts, don't you? Don't you tell a story? Sure we do. God's going to reward us for being faithful. See, he gave his son, the Lord Jesus, and died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood to pay for our sins. Salvation became available by faith. Now, I want to turn. We ought to be, go with me to Psalm 103. A lot of people are familiar with Psalm 103. I'm not going to read the entire psalm. I'm going to read verses 8 through 17. Folks, we need, if you're not already, you need to get in on the blessing of God and live your life in the place that God can bless you and give you insight, and so that you can love Him and serve Him with joy and peace in your soul. Listen here as we begin in verse 8 of Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, in other words, not always rebuke us, neither will He keep His anger forever. Now, verse 10, aren't we glad for this? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's a big word for sin. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Oh, I love verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But now notice verse 17. He says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Watch it. Upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. The rest of it's good too. But it's those verses Lord laid on my heart. Now, some of us have been desperate over our problems. We just reach a place of desperation. You know, one of the greatest things that can happen to you in your Christian life is when you come to the end of yourself. When you really realize and you understand that you need God. He said, without me you can do nothing. But it's amazing. We human beings, we exhaust every avenue there is known to man. We do that, spend thousands of dollars on even some people going to these shrinkers, you know, all these people. If you can find a Christian one that does things by the Bible, that's pretty well. But people just exhaust everything. They reach desperation. And what we need to do is put aside all those human man-made things and look up. He's still alive. He's God. He loves us. He wants to take care of us. He'll meet our needs. He'll take care of us. What do we have to do? Be hit in the head with a sledgehammer? God loves you and me. It's a sad thing that Jonah took off and had to end up in the belly of a whale before he called on God. The prodigal son. I always think of him when I preach this. How many of you really know? Really know? You've seen one. You've been near one. A hog pen. And we still love him. Yes. That place stinketh. Whew. A lot of people, hear me, I'm almost done. A lot of people get in the hog pen of sin, and they stinketh. And the love and the mercy of God Almighty nudges our heart. Says, what are you doing? Don't you realize how good it was down at the church? Do you realize what it was like when you were there and you were hearing the preaching of God's Word? And you were there and you were fellowshipping with other people in that sweet fellowship among God's people? What in the world are you doing here? It takes a God of love to pick you up out of the pigsty. And you thought about how good things were at home. Oh, glory to God. He came up the road. His father saw him. Can you imagine the heart of that father? I probably just started beating faster. He got closer and closer and closer. He said, that's my son. That's my son. Man, they just embraced and threw their arms around one another. He said, kill a fatted calf. You know the story. Folks, don't wait till you get into pigsty. When you know you're going down the wrong path, why didn't you get where like Jonah did? Caused a storm, and he even put the lives of those sailors in danger until they threw him overboard and the waters got calm. You know, God will send peace to your soul when you get things right with Him. He'll give you a reason for living. Quickly, hurriedly. You realize that Jonah had nearly given up. Now, I've got to say this again. I've said it a billion times in these years. When you give up, where are you going? There's no place to go, folks, but further down. Jonah said in verse 7, he said, when my soul fainted within me. When he got discouraged, he called on the Lord. As a matter of fact, he made some vows to the Lord. And then he started giving thanks to God. Look down in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes, God heard Jonah and God rescued him. God has heard our prayers and rescued us how many times? Let me repeat that. God's heard our prayers and he's rescued us more than once, several times. We were headed down the wrong road. We were doing the wrong things. We were thinking the wrong things. We were missing church. We were out of church. We started hobnobbing around with the world. And I'm going to tell you what, you better stay away from those worldly friends. It's out of church and don't go to church, young people and others. You better stay away from that crowd. How are you going to be an example to them by hanging around them? Now, don't misunderstand me. They need Christ. But you're not going to win them to Christ by being a part of them. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be an example. Be a light. Light always and always and always dispels darkness. Amen. Thank God he does still hear our prayers. Now, faith under fire. Some of you, hopefully you're not in the belly of a whale. Hopefully you're not in the pigsty. But let me tell you something. If you're away from God and you keep traveling that road, that's where you're going to end up. That's where you're going to end up. But he's still God. Oh, yes. He'll rescue you. But he's not just going to come down there arbitrarily, grab you by the nape of the neck and jerk you out. No, sir. You have to come to God and repent. Repent and remember how good God was to you back there. And he still will be. But you got to get up and go back to him. He'll always meet your need, all the time, every time. Let's bow our heads, please.